Welcome to the Management Minute with Dr. Donita Brown, where we sit down with business leaders to gain valuable insights and advice on how to navigate the world of management. Whether you're a seasoned manager or just starting out, this podcast is for you. I'm Donita Brown, a professor in the College of Business at Lipscomb University. I'm also an author, speaker, and habit coach. For almost 20 years, I worked in corporate America and managed teams of 2 to 102. Welcome to this week's episode. Today's guest is Brian Rayborn. Brian, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Brian, we always start with a one-sentence bio. So let us hear your one-sentence bio.
There might be a lot of commas.
And that is just fine.
I'll try this really hard. I am a husband of 25 years to an amazing wife. I have four adult kids, three boys, and then kind of a later adopted daughter. I am a healthcare executive that's managed teams anywhere from 2 to 350, and currently the senior director of strategic growth for Angel Eye Health here in Nashville.
Awesome. Well, that was definitely not one sentence. I could say it was a lot of commas, but you know, that is
semicolons. I wasn't very good in English.
Hey, me neither. It's just fine. All right. You ready for question number one?
I'm ready.
All right. How do your values impact your management philosophy?
I hope they go hand in hand. So the individual that gave me my first opportunity in leadership, he really pressed on myself and the other leaders in the organization to make sure we had guiding principles. So when you say values, I call them guiding principles. And I gave a lot of thought to it. And I can remember really pressuring myself to develop my guiding principles before my first leadership team meeting. And then the more I thought about it and the more guidance I got from him, you know, the guiding principles are really what guide us in our everyday life. It's the same thing. So I have three. The first one, do the right thing, even when nobody's watching. Mm. And I think it speaks for itself. Even would say I learned that a lot by just watching my dad growing up. The second principle is keep the main thing the main thing. Again, I think it's pretty self-explanatory, but it's really can be anything in life. My main thing in overall in life is my family. And then when it comes to work or leadership, the main thing can change. It could be quarterly, mm-hmm. it could be mm-hmm. annual, whatever it may be, but keep the main thing the main thing. And then the third one is if you're comfortable in what you're doing, you're probably not doing enough. Mm. And again, I think, you know, that reminds me of like in home life, you think of your weekly exercises, daily exercises, what it may be. You get comfortable, you do the same thing. But when you really push yourself, you obviously get more results. And the same thing, I think, is when it comes to leadership and just everyday business life.
Those are so good. So the first one was do the right thing, even when no one is watching. Second is keep the main thing the main thing. And then third is if you're comfortable, you're not doing enough.
Yes.
Man, those are so good. My oldest daughter got in trouble not too long ago, and she wasn't following the rules when we were watching. She was following the rules when we were watching, mm-hmm. but she had an opportunity to not follow them when nobody was sure. looking. And my husband sat down with her, and I thought what he said was so good. He said, the rules aren't just for when we're watching. They are for when we aren't watching. And it was just such a great reminder. And yeah. I love that you have that's further enforces. Yeah. Do the right thing when no one is watching.
Yeah. It's easier said than done. I think we all fail.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
along the way. But if we keep focused on it, again, it's life and in the business world and leading others. Other people see it. You may not always think you're being watched.
Oh, but you are.
You are.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you make sure that you're doing the right thing? For value number two or guiding principle number two, keeping the main thing, how do you know that main thing is the right thing?
That's a great question. I think it boils down to if you believe in the company, if we're looking at this on a business level, you believe in your leadership, you believe in the company, then you'll believe and you'll know what the right things are and you focus on it daily. I always tell my team that, you know, really the first day when we hire somebody or even in mid-year reviews, year-end reviews, keep the main thing. And if anybody ever asks you to do something that you don't think is the main thing for you, you have my support to say no. Mm. And I'll talk to that individual later about why you said no, whether it's projects or just things that take you away from the focus. You know, we have to really understand what our main things are. And a lot of times they're pushed down from the top. Mm-hmm. We have to be bought in
sure.
To what those are.
That's good. All right. You ready for question number two?
I'm ready.
Who or what has had the most impact on your management style?
This one is challenging for me because there's been so many who's. Mm. So I, not necessarily a what. I'm sure I could really think about it and think of once. But I think it's the who's for me. So I have a few. I think it starts with my parents. Mm. So growing up, me and my brothers in a very supportive home. Mom and dad always supported what we wanted to do, what our goals were, you know, just being supportive in general. And you know, that's helped really me in life. Mm. You know, as a young man, I watched my dad a lot in his just everyday life. And, you know, it goes back to some of my guiding principles. My dad always did what was right, always did, and continues to this day. And the other thing with, you know, my parents and my dad was a vice president for a regional bank growing up. So, you know, he's a very busy man, but he always made time for us, for family. You know, I think back, if he ever missed a baseball game or a football game, whatever it may be, it was simply because my mom and dad were dividing and conquering and going to other games. So I really learned how to prioritize family. The second individual, I think, that I put on that list, an individual named Jim Halley, and he was the person who really encouraged me on my guiding principles. He gave me my first leadership opportunity when I was kind of a young, arrogant 30-year-old that wasn't completely qualified for the job, but he saw something, gave me that opportunity. And from him, I learned a lot about, you know, how to hire, how to really demand results, but also really love the people that you work with and lift people up. He would bend over backwards for the individuals on his team. And I think the third person, if I have to narrow it down and get a final one, it would be my father-in-law. My father-in-law started his own business the year that me and my wife got married. And from him, just watching him with his business, I learned that you don't always have to have, you know, the fanciest new app or the shiniest new item widget to sell. Sometimes all you have to do is just work harder on a simple idea, invest in your customers, invest in their success, and you'll do well. So I got to watch from the sidelines for that. And I think those are the individuals really that have guided me through life.
I love that you called out your father-in-law and just working harder. One of the things that I'm trying to really drive home with my students is the work that's in the syllabus is the minimum. And if you show up to work and you just do the minimum, you're just going to be a minimum employee. But if you do a little bit extra, like if you do a little bit of research before you come to class, you don't have to work hours more than everybody else. But if you'll just do a little bit, that work harder will set you apart from everybody else that you work with.
That's fantastic. I hope my two college sons are going to listen to this.
Let's hope.
Because they don't listen to me, so hopefully they'll listen to you. But that's absolutely wonderful. He took a very simple idea and something that a lot of other people do, but he just did it better. Mm. He worked harder. Mm. Again, he knew his customers. He sold his company not long ago, and it was just fun to watch.
I bet. Thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
Before we get to the next question, let's pause for a quick message about Lipscomb University's College of Business. Are you looking to sharpen your management skills and take your career to the next level? If so, look no further than the MBA program at Lipscomb University. Our part-time program is designed to provide you with the knowledge and the tools you need to excel in today's fast-paced business environment. Lipscomb offers both in-person and online formats that make it a perfect fit for full-time working professionals. Apply now and elevate your management skills. Learn more and apply at lipscomb.edu/business. You ready for question number three?
Yes, I'm ready.
What book has made the biggest impact on you?
So I pride myself on reading a lot of books, and it's hard to say. So I started thinking about this from listening to your other podcast, and there are two books that I've actually read more than once, and that's it. So I'm going to say those are the ones that have had the most impact. The one is called Love is the Killer App. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. I don't see it out there too often, but really you can get a lot out of this book. It's a very easy read. I think you can listen to it on audio in less than 5 hours. But he really turns upside down the whole idea. You and I probably remember this, that, you know, nice guys finish last. It's just not the case. Mm-hmm. And so he really explains that. And really, you know, nice people finish first. It depends on how you define finishing first, but you have to lift up your people. You have to lift up your employees, develop a really strong network. And that book's had some significance because it tells you it's okay to love and care for your employees. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to butcher the title of the second one. It's The 15 Secrets of Time Management That Successful People Know. Mm. But it's a great book too. I think, of course, it lists the 15 secrets, which really they're not secrets. It's just that people who manage their time well do them really, really well. And it's a book that you can skip chapters. Mm. You know, you can, you know, obviously focus more on the ones that you need that really make more sense. But just a great book. I had a team of over 350 at one point, and for all my managers, I gave that to them when we did a little book review on it at a meeting, and it just had a lot of impact.
Well, I haven't read either one of these, but I'm going to buy both of these.
Okay.
I just finished two books. Bob Goff has a similar book about love wins, about loving people and loving them well. And then Joel Manby, who was the president and CEO of Hirsch & Family Entertainment and also a VP at Saab, wrote a book about loving your coworkers. And it was such a phenomenal book. So I'm going to get this one. Thank you. Thank you for this recommendation.
You have to have fun and you have to love the employees that you work with, and especially the ones that you're developing.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Are you ready for my favorite part of the podcast?
I think so.
Okay.
So you're going to stump me. I know you are.
Well, it's 60 seconds rapid fire questions.
I know. And I get one pass,
right? You get one pass.
Nobody passes.
Oh.
Do they? I feel like they will sit there and really think about it. And I'm sitting there listening saying, pass.
Well, it's okay. You can, I guess you could stretch it and have more than one pass, but
no,
I bet you can do this well.
I'm going to do it.
All right. Ready?
Yes.
I'm ready. Okay. What do you think is the most essential professional skill?
Being kind.
What's the worst job you've ever had?
It was my first job and I was digging out ditches on a golf course.
If you could look into a crystal ball into the future, what would you see?
A lot of AI.
If you could start a charity, what would it be?
Helping individuals in their interviews and preparing for the first jobs.
What's the best part of your day?
Just working with my coworkers.
What's your favorite coffee shop?
Oh, gosh. Pass.
What's your favorite season?
Summer.
What's your favorite thing about your job?
Helping nurses in the NICU.
What's at the top of your bucket list?
Visiting Portugal.
What's the most exciting thing that you see out of your kitchen window?
My dogs.
That's a great one to end on.
Oh, good.
Hey, you did great.
I did pass once. I did one pass.
That's okay.
The coffee shop one, yeah. I like every coffee.
I would have a hard time answering my favorite coffee shop. Being at Lipscomb, I'd have to say The Well, because we have a close tie to The Well. There's a lot of good coffee shops.
There's so many good ones. And I would like to try them all, but yeah, that was a good question.
Well, good. All right. Your job now, Brian, is to give parting advice to managers. What's the best advice you can give to a manager?
The first thing I would say is go in with a mindset that leaders aren't always those that achieve great things, but they help others achieve great things. Hmm. And I think if you're always trying to lift up the individuals that you work with or the individuals that you're leading, they achieve great things. You know, it's full circle. And there's nothing better than seeing an employee promoted or going on to do something different. The next thing I would say, develop a strong network. You know, I've been so fortunate in my career to have a wife at home that has supported everything that I've done. Without her, I wouldn't be anywhere to where I am today. And she's a good level set and she brings a different mindset. She's a teacher. So I hear different ideas, different thoughts on things. And lastly, just have fun. Mm-hmm. You're going to be working for 30 to 40 years, mm-hmm. right? Most mm-hmm. people are going to be working for a long time, and surround yourself with people that you can have fun with and laugh at yourself throughout the day, laugh at others respectfully, and just have a good time.
That's good. Thank you so much, Brian. Appreciate you being this
thank
week's
you.
Guest.
I'm enjoying it. It's humble to sit here in this seat with some of the folks that you've had.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Management Minute. We hope you enjoyed this week's interview. If you like this episode, please share it with a friend or colleague. If you have suggestions for a future guest, please send me their contact information to donita.brown@lipscomb.edu. You can also subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to connect with me on LinkedIn. Thank you.
This podcast is powered by the College of Business Content Creation Studio at Lipscomb University.